Welcome to the Teaching Journeys podcast, hosted by Dave Roberts. Humanity possesses a unique skill, the ability to pass knowledge from one generation to the next. This podcast embraces that ability, offering learning opportunities through conversations with extraordinary guests. Dave aims to leave a positive mark on individuals around the world. So before you dive into today's episode, please share this podcast with your network, including friends, family, and colleagues. And please consider leaving a rating or review. Your support makes all the difference.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Teaching Journeys podcast. I'm your host, Dave Roberts. And today it is my pleasure to have as my guest, Jesse Cruz. Jesse Cruz is an award-winning international speaker, best-selling author, and public speaking coach. As the founder and CEO of Merge Worldwide, he empowers diverse audiences to amplify their voices and share their stories in powerful, authentic ways. He empowers speakers to create their own stage and get paid to travel the world with their family. With his captivating stage presence and gift for connecting with people, Jesse has become a highly sought-after speaker for leading organizations like the Ronald McDonald House, Youth Advocate Programs, Urban League, Connected Leaders Academy, and others. He guides clients through his acclaimed coaching programs, helping them overcome communication barriers and unlock their full potential as influential storytellers. A military veteran and devoted family man, Jesse embodies the values of service, compassion, and inclusive leadership. He and his wife, Desiree, are committed to spreading hope and uplifting people of all backgrounds. Jesse's ability to inspire others through the art of communication is truly remarkable. Event planners seeking an inspirational and diverse voice will find Jesse Cruz to be the ideal speaker for their next event. His dynamic presentations empower audiences to find their voices, share their stories, and make a meaningful impact. And with that, Jesse, welcome to the Teaching Journeys podcast. It is an absolute pleasure. Welcome you to the program today.
Thank you for having me.
And I also have to say that we are both fellow upstate New Yorkers. Jesse probably lives 2.5 hours from me. And you're in the Rochester area, am I correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, but I'm in the Whitesboro, New York area, so we're practically neighbors. And we were also introduced by another podcaster, a really wonderful individual by the name of Candace Snyder, who recommended you as a candidate to be a guest on the podcast. We had a pre-call. We hit it off, and here we are.
Yeah, she's awesome.
So, Jesse, my first question for you is please tell our audience about the experiences that have shaped your life path and your life passions.
Absolutely. Well, I think any experience I've had in life comes down to my relationships. So my faith, being a husband, being a dad, leading my clients in business, what really shapes my life is how I get to help other people. And the moments where I felt the most lonely or hurt or isolated, the moments where those relationships falling apart or non-existent. So I truly believe relationships have formed and shaped my entire life.
Yeah, and I think when we can take that type of relationship first approach to Eve, to business, to our personal lives, I think it just strengthens the bond on all different levels. And I think the bottom line that we're looking for in a business sense takes care of itself if we put relationships first.
Most definitely.
So you are a speaker's coach. And can you tell our audience about what that entails and the type of services you provide within your role?
Yeah, so a lot of times authors, speakers, coaches, entrepreneurs, and other professionals want to make more impact. They want to make income, have the ability to communicate their message, whether they're doing a presentation at work, speaking on a conference on stage, speaking virtually. There's certain strategies and tactics they can use to help them become more confident and have more clarity when they're communicating their message. And I believe that you're just one message away from completely transforming your life and getting more opportunities.
How do you help individuals tune into the message that they want to communicate? What is your process in terms of working with somebody who's requesting your services?
Well, first is what I call the pay method, PAY. Number one, what is the problem that you solve? A lot of times people, they want to solve millions of problems and it gives them a diluted message. So they don't know exactly, you know, how they're going to help somebody because they're trying to solve too many problems at once. So the first thing is getting clarity on the one problem that you're most effective in solving. It does not mean you can't solve other problems for people. What is the main problem that you solve? Then it's what audience do you serve? We would like to believe that all the billions of people on earth, we can serve them, but we're not designed to serve all of them. Only designed to serve a certain amount of people, a certain type of person. That doesn't mean there's not overlap. It's just that we're specifically designed for a targeted audience, and it's getting clarity on what type of audience that is. Once they figure out the problem that they solve, the audience they serve, the why is literally, and the pay method is your why. Like when the speaker wants to become a better communicator, they want a different level of opportunity or success. They can get caught up in the how. Like, how am I going to start my presentation? How am I going to end my presentation? What am I going to say in the middle? And they get caught up in the how. But if you go back to your why, you figure out the how. Because your why is what gives you the inspiration. The why is what keeps you going when you don't know how to take the next step. You don't know what to do. Tell the speakers that I train, if you remember your why, you will know your way. And if you can always keep that at the forefront of your presentations and in your business and in your relationships is why you're doing this, you will have more opportunities because people are going to be attracted to not just what you do, but why you do it.
Yeah, and I think that's important. I think if individuals know exactly why you're doing what you're doing, what the focus of your message is, what you want that audience to gain from that, they're going to buy into it a lot better. And I think, you know, they're just going to align with the message more clearly. And I like the fact that you help individuals prioritize what issues they want to deal with, and that streamlines your message, because you're right, too often everybody comes in and says they want to solve everything. Well, you can't solve everything, but you can prioritize those issues that perhaps you'll have one that's kind of a keystone issue that will have a trickle-down effect on all the other issues that that person wants to solve. So it's like, I like the fact that you streamline problem solving, because too often, I think many individuals don't understand rational problem solving or don't know how to do it for a variety of different reasons. One is they may come from an unhealthy family situation, which didn't model that, you know, that type of problem solving. So, and I'm glad that you do that. What are the typical barriers or fears that individuals have about public speaking? And what are your strategies for helping clients transcend them? And Jesse, I ask this question because I work with students at Utica University and Pratt Munson School of Art. And a lot of times if I'll mention public speaking, it's like you can see the fear kind of just take over their face. So what are some of the barriers that you typically run into with individuals who are hesitant to embark on a career in public speaking?
It's so common, and it is frustrating as the coach. They have a powerful message. They have a great story. They have a message that could quite change the world. And I run into people constantly. They're like, they know that they can make an impact. They know they can make a difference, but they shrink back. And they do nothing. And a reason why I believe many of them do nothing, the opinions of other people is paralyzing. They would much rather shrink back into not becoming the person they were designed to be and would much rather just be okay with not becoming excellent. That doesn't mean they're not excellent people, but they have an excellent message. They would rather not share their excellence and their giftedness and their genius with the world, the fact that criticism may come their way. And so that's why, as I mentioned earlier, knowing their why is so important. If your why is other people's opinions, okay, then for the rest of your life, whatever people say, they control your destiny.
Yeah.
They control your outcome. They can control your results, and they will basically run your entire life for the rest of your life. But at the end of your life, we're all going to be held accountable to the thing we did or did not do, or the gifts we've been given. And if people's opinion is that high of a priority, there's really not much I can do now. I like to give them strategies. I like to give them tactics to and get them focused on the lie. We have a little bit of hope for them to overlook what people are saying. Because let me tell you what, when I first started, I delayed my start line by years because I thought, what are they going to think about me? And so I lived it. I lived in fear, worried about other people's opinions. I tried to dim my light to make other people feel good about themselves. And that's the issue when I try to work them through. It's a mindset block. It's usually because somebody, typically in their childhood, most of the time, a family member, usually a parent or a friend, did not acknowledge their greatness, did not encourage them, did not give them words of affirmation, and actually gave them criticism, and that stuck in their heart. In that moment, they made a subconscious decision that for the rest of their life, they're not going to try to shine the light because they fear that someone will be trying to put them down. So help them work through that process to get the confidence to share their story.
Well, I think you're right. I think the experiences that we have in our peer groups, but particularly in our family of origin, if the messages we get cause us to internalize that we are less than, that's going to translate into fear of what other people think, the fear of evaluation. I tell individuals, if you speak from your heart, you're committed to your message, and that message is in alignment with how you see the world and your definition of right or wrong, those individuals who are going to align with it are going to align with it. And those who aren't going to align with it have the free will to just walk away. But I think the other thing is, and I've said this on my podcast, Jesse, is what we fear is going to keep resurfacing until we make an attempt to deal with it.
Yes, I'm sure.
It's like those individuals that come into our lives that we just wish would go away. And they keep resurfacing, but they're surfacing because they have something to teach us. And until we figure out what that is, we're not going to be able to manage their presence or ignore their presence. That has to be frustrating as a coach for you to see the potential in anybody for greatness, to share a great story. That has to be frustrating. I think not only for you, but probably other coaches that train public speakers as well.
Yeah, most definitely.
Let me ask you a question. This is something that just came into my head just now. What has been your most proudest moment that you've had as a coach with a client or clients? And you don't have to mention any specific names or anything like that, but just in general, what is like the proudest moment you've had as a coach or moments?
I mean, there's so many. One of my students that I coached before, they got a speaking engagement in front of hundreds and hundreds of kids. And I actually had to be present for that. And sat front row, watched them go from someone who never spoke a day in their life to becoming a masterful communicator on stage. And watching him on that stage, the audience the way that he did, seeing the strategies that I've coached him on and him implement to perfection. And then afterwards, it was at school. And then he had students running up to him afterwards, lines and lines of kids, hugging him, crying in his shoulder, taking pictures with him. And I got to watch that. And I remember my wife and I, we were both there. And we looked at each other and we're like, this is what it's about. His life changed that day. He touched so many lives, and now he speaks all over the country. And I just love watching students I get to work with impact their message. That was my proudest moment.
Yeah, and I think those moments, as we realize that it's our job just not to create to create great public speakers, but to create great masters at their craft. And if we can do that, our legacy will continue to live on long after we do. Yeah, you know, one of the things, I was just looking at your bio, and you and your wife Desiree are committed to spreading hope and uplifting people of all backgrounds. Tell our audience a little more about that in terms of how you and Desiree do that. And I think it's a great mission. I think it's important that inclusivity in terms of spreading hope and inspiration just continues. So can you talk a little bit about what you and Desiree do to achieve that mission?
Well, first, it's valuing people and understanding that sometimes people that have maybe more challenging upbringings or backgrounds can feel overlooked, feel disqualified. And we don't look at it like that. It's, we know every human being that has walked the face of the earth has an important message. We also know not all of them are going to tell it. Not all of them are feel comfortable or called to share. But as we continue to put out content, no matter what, we attract such a diverse group of people because we love them the way that they are. And for us, it's like, you're just a person to us. And we love them and see them. And when we look at them, we're just like, we see the greatness in you. We see the potential, the future version of you. And I think people really gravitate to that. Then we're not like showing favoritism to this group or that group. It's like, what is the message that you want to share with the world to make a difference to the people you are called to serve? Let's help you make that happen. And we just naturally attract such a diverse group of people, and I love it.
I think it's great that you look at potential. You don't look at limitation. You look at what people can become as opposed to what society says they can't become or whatever other messages they've internalized that says they can't become the person that they aspire to be. And I think one of the things that I think you do very well is you realize that everything a person needs to succeed is they already have it. It's within them. And it's just your job to nurture that and bring that out and get them to see that they are capable of doing great things.
Yeah. It's helping them unlock the next level of themselves that's already been there.
I also got the impression that you're very big on individuals telling their stories. What is the power of storytelling, especially with an audience in a public speaking context?
For me, you know, storytelling is freedom. Oftentimes, people have a story that they're ashamed of, they're embarrassed of. It's too painful. And a lot of times, that holds them back. They think because they've gone through something so traumatic or tragic that they're unworthy. They're undeserving. I believe the opposite. The more difficulties you have in your story, the better the story, and the more people you can actually help. And so I believe when you share your story, you don't share it in a place from your woundedness. You share it from a place of your healing. You empower yourself to empower people to do the same.
Yeah, and we all have a story. I don't think there's any story that's insignificant. We are all going to be touched by challenge and tragedy throughout our life. Some tragedies and challenges may be perceived as more serious than others, but you know, tragedy is tragedy, and everybody's going to have to learn how to transcend that. These speakers that I resonate with, the writers that I resonate with, come from that place of healing. They talk about, this is what happened to me, but this is what I did to find healing, to find peace, to find hope, to re-engage in life again. And I think those kind of stories will stand the test of time.
Yes, they will.
You also have a book. I know you have a couple of books out, but the book I wanted to focus on is Live Your Dash, Discovering the 8 F's to Freedom. Tell us about your book and how the contents of both supports both your coaching philosophy and your life philosophy.
Yeah, so the title, the message of that book, Live Your Dash, is on someone's tombstone. You have the day that they're born on the left, the day they pass away on the right. The dash is the life in the middle. And I think a lot of times people get caught up in all the responsibility and tasks, things that need to be done. They forget to actually live their life. So I wrote that book during a very difficult season in my life. And I realized there was 8 areas of my life that if I was intentional and that I could heal, I could also grow in this painful experience. And personally, changed my life forever. reading that book. And then I saw, I bet you I could help people with this project. Because originally I just wanted to write, transformed into a book. And then I've been able to build coaching programs and then coach people on those 8 specific areas, because how much it did for me writing about it. And so personally, completely transformed my life. And then professionally, people reading the book and wanted more support on it. And then I created a coaching program, because a lot of that book is obviously about different types of relationships and important aspects of everybody's life. And so everything that I do is connected to that book in some way.
Without giving too much away, can you talk about at least a couple of the F's that resonate with you the most deeply?
Yeah. So faith, for sure. No matter what somebody's background is, no matter what, we all have a faith in someone or something. Okay. The degree of, I believe, the person, any person's success is the depth of their faith. And I think the more faith you have, the more action you take. When you lack faith, you also lack the ability to take action, because faith is all it is. It's a belief in a future outcome that you desire. For me, it's God. And so I believe that, you know, God has my back and loves me just the way that I am, but also loves me enough to the point, doesn't want me to stay who I am, wants me to get better. I think that's what love is about. I know that God loves me, and I know that if I say that I have faith, and then I don't go actually do something about it, then I really don't have faith. And so I believe no matter what you believe in, like go all in on it. Like just go all in on your belief. When I lacked faith, I also lacked action. And so for me, if you want to become more successful, you got to take more action, which requires having more faith.
Yeah, and sometimes we individuals will have kind of a very ambivalent relationship with faith, depending on what's going on in their lives, depending on what tragedies. I know for me with, you know, my own personal tragedy, the deepest personal tragedy that I ever had, which was the transition of my daughter, Janine, over 21 years ago, my faith was questioned. I questioned my faith. I questioned, you know, could I have faith in anything again? And it was a process to rebuild that. But once I discovered that I had faith in something either greater than myself, faith in myself to be able to rebuild my life in a world that had changed, I was able to take action with the things that were meaningful to me personally and the things that were meaningful to me in terms of service. So, and I think I saw a meme somewhere on Facebook, and you might have seen this too, Jesse, where it says, sometimes our faith has to be greater than our fear. It
definitely does.
Any other F that resonates with you right now? Besides, faith is a big one. Anything else that has helped you personally?
Yeah, I mean, family. When I say family, I think that goes without saying that we know how important family is. But I just think my views on family are maybe a little bit different than other people. So, for example, people feel, you know, the family of origin, the family they come from, you know, their extended family. It's there's like this deep obligation that can feel forced to, you know, you got to go to Thanksgiving with them. You got to go to Christmas with them just because you share the same bloodline. However, I've learned that in the principle, what I call chosen family, these are people who just love you. They don't wait until Thanksgiving to try to love you. They don't wait until Christmas to try to love you. They just love you. They just want to be around you. They want to be in your presence. They support you. They believe in you. They want to help you win. And so for me, it's like creating a family that you desire, because you know, sometimes you don't come from a family that's maybe healthy. We have no control with that. But we do have control with the family that comes from us, the family we create, the family we desire. Yes. I just want to be around people who want to be around me. Not because they feel obligated to, because we have the same last name, same parent, same grandparent. That's not for me. Like, I just want to be people like in their presence who sincerely, genuinely love me. They want the best in me. They're cheering me on. When I win, they feel like they win. And there's no insecurity or competition or jealousy or comparison. These people sincerely love you to death. Those are the people I want to be around. And I think if we can just change our definition of family a little bit, and not feel the guilt and obligation of certain family members, and we can create our own family, we'll have more freedom in our life.
I agree. And I have the family that I was born into. I have the family that I created, you know, marrying my wife and having my children. And then there's also, I call them a soul family. These are individuals I call brothers from other mothers, sisters from other mothers. These are the individuals that epitomize the definition of family and maybe transcend that through unconditional love. And, you know, you just, and that's, for me, I believe family just goes beyond our biological and our, the family that we marry into. And the other thing I like about faith is and this resonates with me. It's like, whatever you believe, whatever you have faith in, whatever your higher power is, if it's God or something greater than yourself, you're willing to work with that to help people cultivate that within the framework that they understand the best. And I think that's a great approach to have. It's client-centered, it's person-centered, and it just, I think it just works, as opposed to telling somebody, this is, I don't agree with how you believe, do it my way. And that's not going to do anything to build relationships. If anything, that's going to alienate people.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So I could see us having some really great conversations on the extension of faith and family down the road, Jesse. So
for sure.
If you could leave our listeners with one takeaway today, or one takeaway with subcategories, I'm good with that. What would that be?
It would be that you are responsible for your own happiness in life, nobody else. And what I mean by that is, I think most people, they want to live a fulfilled life. And they want to feel like their life means something and that they can make a difference. They blame their family as to why they can't. They blame their education. They blame their background. They blame the economy. They blame the government. They blame their health. They blame all these situations. Some of them, you know, we can and cannot control. However, there is one factor that you can, and it is yourself. If you want to live a fulfilled life, it cannot happen by accident. It can only happen by purposeful action consistently. If you want to have a more fulfilled life, no one is going to make it happen for you. You have to do it yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And we can rely on other people's resources. We can rely on other people's observations, but it's up to us to take the step. And I like the fact that you mentioned, you know, a lot of times it's easy to blame others for our limitations. And I think sometimes society kind of, in some ways, kind of reinforces that or perpetuates that narrative, is that a lot of times society looks at what we can't do as opposed to what we can do. And it's very easy to build into those limitations and then compare ourselves, whether it's through social media or through our other peer groups, saying that, well, geez, we really can't be as good as that other person, or we really don't have the resources or the ability to transcend those limitations that we perceive we have. So I like the fact that it's about the steps that we take personally to create the reality and co-create the reality of our own choosing in conjunction with the universe. So thank you for that, Jesse.
My pleasure.
My last question for you is, if individuals want to get in touch with you, find out more about how to purchase your book or your books, find out more about your services, any upcoming events that you have going on, what's the best way for them to do that?
Well, they can connect with me on Instagram, Jesse Cruz Speaks. Send me a message. I'd love to see what I can do to help.
That sounds good. I trust that you will respond very quickly to any type of request. I would guess if you're like me, it's within a day that you respond to people's requests, just because of the value that you place on relationships.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jesse, thank you so much for being such a valuable guest contributor today to the Teaching Journeys podcast. I enjoyed our conversation, and I hope we get a chance to do this again in the future.
Amen.
And with that, that is a wrap on another episode of the Teaching Journeys podcast. I'm your host, Dave Roberts, wishing you peace.